Sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. Sometimes we try to fit it all in. Sometimes we don't know what's in store. Sometimes we find what we're looking for. Sometimes we're rolling easy and free. Sometimes one and one makes three. So much to love along this ride. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Let's take a break from talking about bad movies and talk about something absolutely delicious. I'm talking about Impossible Foods, meat made from plants. It's making meat history this summer, and it is your chance to join them because Impossible Burger is not just any burger. It's a summer barbecued, grilled Impossible Burger, which is delicious, scrumptious, and marvelous. I love an Impossible Burger. I have been eating Impossible Burgers since you couldn't even buy them in the store, and now you can. Plus, they're being made from plants, which means that there's zero animal hormones, and it has 19 grams of protein per serving. It's good, it tastes like beef, and everything is right when you have a good grilled Impossible Burger. So if you're looking for options when you're looking to grill stuff, go for the Impossible Burgers, the Bratwurst, the Sausage Links, you name it. And then you eat it. Start making meat history today. Just head on over to the meat aisle at your local store and grab some Impossible beef or patties and just get grilling. You will thank me for it. It's changed my life.
Maltesers salutes the mother lovers. They can be your boss, your partner, your friend, or, you know, yourself. One thing we know is that every mum deserves a mother lover. Find helpful tips for mums and mother lovers at maltesers.co.uk. Maltesers. Let's lighten the load for working mums.
A mission to find boobs turns into a mission to find love. Take off your pants and listen. Because we saw Milk Money, so you know what that means.
Show with Nick Crow and take a bonus speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the boom all the way to the room. Renegades and Street Fighter help to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life attempting to bring. Shot in the middle of the birdemic, how we staying alive? They call him the badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause the bad Jim Barney looking kinda nice. All in June getting little, well Jason is getting laid. June is making sure the monkey shots in the pain. They're just a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello people of Earth! And hello people of Los Angeles! Welcome to How Did This Get Made? I'm your host, Tall John Shear, and today we are talking about the 1994 Melanie Griffith, Ed Harris, rom-com, children's movie about a sex worker and a scientist and really perverted kids. Boy, oh boy, we're gonna all break it down, but let me just give you a brief idea of what this plot is. First of all, I'll say this. It feels like this is a film adapted from a very famous French film. It's not. But it feels like, oh, no, of course this works. No, it's a movie about a young boy whose mother died in childbirth, and he longs having a mom, so he also wants to see a real woman naked. So him and his friends raise $100, we'll get into all of that, go to the city to find a sex worker, find her, and then somehow take her home, and then tries to get her to marry his widowed dad. That's the movie. Wow. Okay, it is a child's film. I think it was made by Disney. And watching it, I am shocked on so many levels. Just when you think it can't get weirder, it does. This is like Ari Aster could have made this movie. This is Beau Is Afraid for night. Like, by the way, look at this. Like, put this in the theater now. You're like, holy shit, A24, you've gone too far.
But you know what? We will break it all down, and I will do it with my co-host. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How we doing, Largo?
So, Jason, you and I roughly, you know, we're in a similar age group. I remember this poster. I don't ever feel like I saw this film. Like, it felt to me like it was too young for me, even though I was old. Like, I would have been the perfect age group for it.
I've never seen this movie.
Okay.
Didn't know this movie existed.
Got it.
Full stop.
Okay.
This movie is like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup movie. This is, you got your stepmom in my something wild, right? This is a combination of Something Wild, the Jonathan Demme movie, where Melanie Griffith takes a young Jeff Daniels down the rabbit hole of insanity and crime and stuff, except in this movie, the Jeff Daniels character is a little boy.
I will say, it felt to me like Working Girl for kids with sex work. Like, that's it. It felt like there was an element of that that I was like, oh, this kind of worked. Like,
let's do it. Stand By Me, but present day at the time, but with a sock hop. This movie
and
is a real Rubik's
Cube. Instead
of a
dead body? I don't know. We're going to break it all
instead
down.
Instead of, do you want to see a dead body? It's, do you want to see boobs?
We're going to continue to break this down. And I have to do it with my other co-host. Please welcome to the stage, Miss June Diane Raphael.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, June. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Paul?
Very well. Thank you for asking. Good. June, you and I watched Milk Money today, and at many points, we were ushering our children out of the living room. Like, get out of here. You can't watch this with us.
Yeah, it was... there were many times watching it where I thought, like, I'm going to be put on a list. And I should be. Like, I need to tell people I saw some of these scenes. You know, I need to come clean. I watched it.
I had a flashback, a hint of a flashback while watching this movie. Ooh, didn't we do a movie where Patricia Arquette seduces Joe Gordon-Levitt, who's also a tiny child?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
That was a movie where...
Why do people? And that was Leonard Nimoy. This is Richard Benjamin.
Yes.
Like, what's up with these weirdos?
I don't know. I truly, because also, you know, I'm a coach, you know, for a soccer team, and I've been fingerprinted, and I want to go back and let the authorities know, like, take another look at me, you know.
But I will say, if I'm being fully honest, the most I've ever cried at a How Did This Get made movie was this movie.
Me too.
When we get to it, the number of times I wrote in my notes, I'm crying, ? I'm sobbing. At the end, my notes say, I am wrecked.
Listen, Jason.
When she hugs the backpack, I was like,
Stop. Listen, don't get me wrong. Again, I want to be background checked now, but I absolutely loved this movie.
Same.
I absolutely loved this movie.
Heart same, so much so that, Paul, I'm going to need you to bring out our other guest.
Well,
yes. Because she's the one who introduced we've already revealed one.
Here's what I'll say.
Oh, boy.
For those of you listening, for those of you here in the theater, a couple of years ago here in Los Angeles.
Audible gasps.
We did a show where we talked about a movie about a young girl finding herself through an imaginary friend. The movie was called Drop Dead Fred. It was a battle of wills, Team Sanity, Team Fred, and not since.
Team Fred!
I need to understand how you're going to define Team Fred, but we'll get into that because I think a lot of people who define Team Fred are actually Team Sanity. Anyway, the thing that I will say is, since that show, this guest has not been on this show. People have assumed that this guest was not allowed back.
They were right.
The truth is, we needed to find the perfect film. You know her
as a member of Team Sanity. You also know her from her incredibly successful podcast, Bitch Sesh. Please welcome Casey Wilson. Casey Wilson.
Fred. Guys, I know we are here to talk about Milk Money, but I just want everyone to know I could do five more hours on
Fred.
We're moving on to Milk Money.
And I do think we need to address this to kind of clear the space and clear the air because...
Oh, do we have some Palo Santo to burn?
I do want a new experience tonight, and I want
to
start
I don't want it to be antagonistic.
I don't.
We're already, Paul, the way Paul has set the chairs.
I know.
Has set us against each other.
I know. But
now, I will. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack.
It's hard
here.
Because just to I haven't even seen Casey since that night. I've not seen her, and just to see you right now makes me so furious.
Jason, Casey is one of my very best friends in the world.
Thank you.
Ooh, I'm so mad though.
I know. And what you have to know is that after that night, Paul and I drove separately to the show, and I got in my car and I called Jason. And we did some time together on the phone. There were a lot of texts going on between the four of us.
We talked numerous times over the next few days.
It wasn't a normal show where you go back and it's like, that was crazy. But like, I was in the parking lot like, fuck them.
Yeah.
They didn't get it.
Everybody who came to the green room after the show had a very strange experience with us.
Very strange. They were trying to find charcuterie, and we were just like packing up angrily.
We were kicking them out. We're like, we don't have time to see guests.
Yeah, Mitch Garrett, get the fuck out of here.
That was really horrible.
Thank you for the art.
He's so amazing, and you know, he saw our most toxic selves.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately,
well,
that night.
I wanted to start this one off a little bit differently because had a great. Listener to the show. He has a legitimate beer company. It's not made in somebody's house. It's called Wrong Crowd, and it's the Where Does the Butt Start Pale Ale.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
Well, I will pass these out. I have four of them, and I have cups as well. This is it's a legitimate. We Googled it, so this is not poison.
I was just going to say, this feels a lot like poison to me.
I wanted to make sure.
Just because you give it to me on stage doesn't mean I'm going to drink it. Wow.
But what I love about this beer is, and I got cups if people want them. What I love about this beer is, there you go.
Weird as the boat.
Is that when you drink it, you really get the sense of being and how did this get made? Because if you look at the bottom of the can, it says right there, clear as day, Team Sanity.
What? No. I will not drink
get out
that.
Of here.
Nice try.
Stop.
Nice try.
Stop.
Nice try. What does it have? What does it have in it? Insane juice?
A person
juice?
Who named their beer, Where Does the Butt Start, is Team Sanity.
Yeah.
Okay?
Fucking idiots.
I'm so mad, Paul, because what I wanted to do, I wanted to start off differently. I want to start off differently with Casey, and I want everyone to know that Paul and I talked a little bit about that show, but not that much. Jason and I spent roughly 12 hours recapping it and honestly processing it. Casey, you and I have never talked about it.
No, and I don't even want to look at you.
It was literally like we never spoke about it again.
Never, ever spoke about it once.
Nope.
I had a headache for 2 days.
I was hoarse.
Yeah.
I have to say, you know, tonight is a healing space because... And something else happened that was so surprising. Obviously, Casey revealed herself to be Team Sanity, which was one of the most shocking moments of my life. But I also, today, a real insane moment, watching Milk Money. I've known Casey since she was 18 years old. I've never heard you speak of this movie.
I love Milk Money.
Thank God.
And I love Milk Money, too.
Eyes filling with tears
I
as I'm talking
about it. I also love Milk Money.
I loved this movie, like, in a way that was like...
I especially felt...
This is healing.
It is.
That's what I'm saying. But, I think you brought Milk Money.
But I think we love it in the right way.
Oh.
Look, I got a lot of questions.
June and I love it for the right reasons.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions about it. Now, Casey, you said to me, like, this is one of your favorite movies growing up, right? This is a movie, and this is a movie that you saw. So I really want to
In the theaters, go on.
Okay. I want to dig into what that was like, because seeing it as a child, my biggest question was, who is this for? I don't know if this is for boys, girls, 13-year-olds, 40-year-olds, yeah. widowers, or...
This is a real four-quadrant movie.
It's an odd movie because...
What if Porky's, but for Stand By Me, also Pretty Woman, but yeah. also...
Terms like, of Endearment.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, like, in the beginning, yes. when the boys are in the treehouse, and he's like, and I'm going to put in this box of the sacred shoebox, a picture of a dead mother. I was like, okay, where are we going
Actually,
here?
Go ahead.
Well, I have a quote there. We're not 3 minutes into the movie, and I hear one of the most beautiful quotes I've heard on screen. One boy says, I don't know what it's like to have a mother. Another boy says, we can tell you. And he says, the other boy says, you can't tell somebody something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's a gorgeous film.
There's a lot of incredibly beautiful lines. Yes, from the writer of Free Willy, too. A lot of great lines.
But then,
there
are also scenes where a bunch of 8-year-olds appear to be watching porn.
Yes. All right, wait. Hold on. I want to go back to this box.
Which is
because
cool.
this box is very high concept. Because. What I understand with the box like that is like it's like a time capsule. Let's put things in here. We'll look back.
Things we don't understand. I was saying
what we understand in the world is time capsules. We're gonna put our own mementos in here, and years later we'll see it. In this movie, it's like we're putting things that we don't understand in here, and we'll revisit it later to be like, we were dumb. Is that the premise of the box?
I would much That's rather they return to the box with more knowledge than test things out like a travel drinking cup.
A.K.A.
That is
a diaphragm. By the way.
You like put it away until someone notices. And you know what? This, Frank does know what it is.
This is a moment, and I didn't realize this until much later. Diaphragm's not really into the culture as much as I guess it was, but there was a movie called Club Med. It was a movie with Robin Williams and Peter O'Toole, like Club Med or Club Paradise.
Thank you.
Club Paradise. And at one point, Robin Williams says, oh, you got a bunch of diaphragms in your pool filters. And I said to my dad, what's a diaphragm? He goes, you don't have to worry about it.
You actually do need to worry about it quite a bit.
It was said so shockingly that it's always been burning my head. Like, we were watching a movie. I didn't understand what was getting stuck in the pool filters. And he's like, you don't need to worry about it. And then I knew a diaphragm is like you breathe with your diaphragm. And then I was like, how is that in a pool filter? And my dad worked at a pharmacy, and then one time I was in the back room getting something from the back, and I saw diaphragms. And I was like, what's in this box?
Shouldn't these be in the pool?
Diaphragms to me, that's the first time I've seen one.
But
I have children.
To be fair, Paul, your dad was right. By the time it came around, you didn't need to know about diaphragms.
Don't worry about
They were RIP. It's like saying to this crowd, did you know about sponges? No.
Yeah.
It's gonzo.
It really did make me think, like, diaphragms were crazy. The idea of having to, like, put in... Because my question was always, when do you put in a diaphragm? Like, just right before?
I think right before.
Wow, that's... Diaphragm users?
Does anybody want to speak for the diaphragm?
I don't understand how it hooks in. Paul, let's take that. I'd love to examine the hand motion that Paul did.
When he say, I don't understand how it hooks in.
God.
Like
but
a bra
You
hold
glass? It like a menstrual cup and it expands.
Do you think
it expands in there. So you don't put it in just like trying to shove that thing in.
But because of what that kid was holding up, I was like, that's it? Like, again, I haven't seen it.
You gotta fold it and make like a little C shape, and then you insert it, and then it opens.
Yeah, got it. Okay, I thought that you I thought at the point of entry you just drop it in front, like
it's like.
Wait, you thought you put it on the outside of the vagina?
Yeah, just as like
and then you put it on June.
You put it on the outside. You breathe deep.
Well, that's what and it made gets, me think I it couldn't, gets pulled I couldn't in. Understand how you would ever do it.
You know,
like, of course.
Because the one mouth is connected to the other.
I will say, there's so many things about this movie. The premise, though, the beginning premise is these kids have access to a lot of porn. They're not only watching...
Where did that porn come from?
The dad?
Which one? Not Ed Harris.
Wait,
The dad who used
the creep dad. Of course, that dad.
Well, all right, so I wanted to just show some of the porn because at a certain point when.
What's happening, Paul?
Paul, we're going to respectfully say no.
Please, you're going to learn a lot about me tonight.
Oh.
Hey, get
porn.
Ready to flip that
My
switch about Team
here.
Sanity, Team Friend. It's where the butts are.
This is Largo. We don't
look. I have to defend Paul no matter what. Tonight.
Thank you, Casey.
You know, on this stage, I'm with him.
You're drunk on Team Sanity beer.
But here's what I'll say: it's like these kids, their collection of porn is massive, and it seems to me their lack of understanding of sex with the amount of porn they have access to is imbalanced.
Sure.
Like when they're watching the thing, they're like, that's elbows. Like. Keep it playing, buddy. Like, because
and
when
they turn it off at the best part.
Yeah, because here we go.
Wait, when do you have that movie?
No, but like it was like I just sort of felt like it was interesting.
It was getting somewhere.
Yeah,
it was
like
dark.
We were about to get there, and they were like, "Turn it off."
I mean, now look
we
at these.
We do need to find Melanie.
This is the porn.
No, but I mean, we're okay. I want to be very clear. We're talking about a movie. You're talking about porn as if it's the porn of today.
Well, okay,
he's
hold on.
Handing someone a Frolics magazine.
Frolics. How about
these
this
are like
nurses
like
in
nurses.
Bondage.
Still a lot, yeah. Jason.
These are like
Playboy.
Yeah, these are very
1994 porn wasn't like the Stone Age. It wasn't like, you know, a pinup girl in black,
but
like,
they also don't
I'm
have...
wearing a bra. Like it wasn't that.
But some of this is that. You know, it is there is a I guess I liked that they were this also reminded me of was it Good Boys? Was the movie
yes.
The Good Boys? Or, right? Yeah. In a way, too, because there was something about, like, this kid selling all of his porn is in school.
He looks like he's got zines.
This is in school.
He's got magazines. He's got a homemade porn zines. He's got VHS tapes. This kid's running a full business. There's a line up and down his hallway like there was a sneaker drop. No teacher in sight.
They do a good job, I felt like. At least for Frank, especially, dialing in a genuine innocence that I believed or that I was on board for.
I totally agree. I mean, listen, until Melanie Griffith shows up at the house, the movie is utterly insane. And I don't know why. I really don't know why they need to see, because they've seen naked women. They've seen
lots of naked
women.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The idea is like what?
But they need to see one in person. You know, there's... And then why she goes with them, and then she does it, you know. And you all have to sit with that.
Yeah,
we all saw that.
That's right.
Okay, that's what
we have to contend with. That's what we're up against with Milk Money.
That is that moment. First of all, them coming into the city. I thought this is the best representation of a city on midday. It's neither like it's daunting
what city
but
was it?
Cold.
Where they ride their bikes to the downtown of it.
Where
Wait, what
it?
Is it?
Indy.
It's Pittsburgh.
That's
oh, that makes sense.
I have a very strong history with Pittsburgh and Mannequin too, but I will tell you this much. But they walk in and it's like...
Speaking of where does the butt start?
Yeah, that is. So, but that idea, like when they get there, it's like, ooh, it's dangerous, but it's also not like, it just feels like adult in a great way. I like the way that they presented the city. There.
Oh, the kids were shockingly out of place.
Yes.
To me, in a good way. And I was like, is this the movie? I genuinely thought this was going to be a kid's... When their bikes get stolen and they're stuck in the city, I was like, oh, is this going to be the fucking movie? And I'm on board for it.
Yeah.
But no, they go straight back.
Well, listen, we need to get to Ed Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's one of his best performances.
Absolutely.
Hands down. Most open I've seen him.
Yes.
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 I agree with this. I agree
He's
with all
available.
Of this. He this is to me. I'm like, I'm picturing him going to work on the Apollo 13, like he's, I'm tying this into Apollo 13.
No, this
like
is
he
him.
Comes home.
Yeah. Well, no, I feel like this is the only Ed Harris performance that I've ever seen where he seems emotionally lost and bereft.
Oh, it yeah. was
like he feels right. lost.
Beautiful.
Like Ed Harris in the greenhouse with Melanie Griffith in pajamas, all muddy. I was like,
that
he's got it.
Scene and the two of them together in those pajamas, muddied. I was like,
those dog footprints.
Oh my God.
They really were very
compared
messy.
Compared to Ed Harris in like Westworld or National Treasure 2, which I inexplicably
Pollock.
Just watched.
Yeah. It was a beautiful performance. And
the best moment, though, I think, is when he eats the microwave dinner on the lawn.
Oh.
With his son, and they're racing who can eat the fastest. A great family game.
They are so good at conveying the true desperate heartache of these two, like that they are this pair that feels lost in the world.
I cried when he was taking the laundry out. No, I've never done the laundry for my children. So I'm a mother, but it still got me when he was taking it out himself. And
as the person who does all of Casey's children's laundry,
you can
that scene resonated with me.
By the way, June got
careful,
so angry with me the other
careful.
Night.
You're going to speak about laundry. Careful. I want to keep this night
we'll
light.
We'll cut this out
okay,
of the podcast.
Wow. All right.
Team
what
laundry.
What you going to say, Paul? Because I know what I do. But go ahead.
I said like this. I said to June, I said, I like doing laundry. And she's like, you like doing laundry? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, and walked away. I've never
been so disturbed.
Seen such disgust.
What did they like about it? People who say they liked like domestic work and doing these household tasks. Like I do think there's something a little off about you.
But do you mean?
I do.
Did you mean it in regard to like? Because I would say I like doing laundry more than the dishes.
Yeah,
like in
no,
terms
that's
of
not
chores
how he was
ranked,
saying it, Jason. Okay, it wasn't. Okay. Yeah, we.
I like doing
we
the laundry.
Putting things. Period.
I like period. Laundry. It's fun.
I tried to get you to go to the movies the
Absolutely.
Other night, and you were like, "I've got a load of whites in."
Don't get me started. Like when we go on a vacation, he's barely in the hotel room. He's barely arrived at the place we're about to go to.
He's finding a laundromat.
He's starting to load.
Got to get
like,
a load in.
What could we be laundering?
Well, Jason and I had this debate. Just the other day, you weren't a part of this. It was part of Last Looks.
Okay.
All right. And we can maybe throw it out to the crowd. Casey, I'd like you to be an impart. I won't tell you the side of it. If you are packing for your children on a 7-day vacation, how many pair of pajamas are you bringing your children? Hold on.
For me,
we'll get to you.
For me, four.
Four.
What?
And June?
Maybe five.
Eight?
Eight. 7-day vacation, 8 pair of pajamas.
What? I'm on vacation.
For
why
me?
Would I do laundry
because
there?
Because I can wear it 2 to 3 nights each.
And
easy.
She says no. She says no, no, no. She looks at me like
for
that.
For someone who doesn't like to do laundry, that's quite a request.
I believe pajamas, and this is a fundamental difference between us. I believe pajamas are a single-use wear. You wear pajamas.
Audience, insane.
If anything, no. They're the most used
yes.
wear of all our clothes. I'll get a pajama top. I'll get an undie.
Yeah.
A week.
What
agree.
Are you doing? You're just sleeping in it?
I'll go one step further. When I go on vacation, I pack 0 children's pajamas. 0. Because I am childless.
You're doing so
much. Wouldn't it be weirder if I was like 11?
You're doing so much sweating. You're doing. You should
so much.
You're taking a bath. You're the most clean you've ever been.
The minute I get into a hotel room, boom, 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 58 degrees. You don't.
I
don't sweat.
I like it cold too, but there's
June
things
is treating
that can be
like
happening.
Sleeping as if. Yeah, you just got done with the gym, so you take off your clothes and you pop them. Yeah, like
they're
like,
the most clean they've ever been.
I am an active sleeper, and our children have woken up a few times with like, and come downstairs with like wet heads. They're sleeping so hard
at night. Well,
that's
because they're in like flannel pajamas 90% of the year.
They look so
cute in
them.
We live in a desert climate.
They look so cute in them.
And we've also had battles about this.
They're so dehydrated.
June wants them in very tight pajamas. Because
of fires, house fires.
Wait, you think loose pajamas are going to cause so much friction they'll start a fire?
If a child wakes up, no. If there's
it
a fire, we got to get the kids out quickly. I don't want them to catch a flame.
I have seen them.
Wait, you think they'll be that close
I've
to the fire?
I've seen your kids in a tighter cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have them? Do you buy regular pajamas and have them tailored?
No, I like them. No, I don't get them
She'll
tailored.
Be like, if they're an 8, she's like, put them in a 6 or a 7.
What?
She knows that she can't defend it.
What?
This is my moment. I've never had this many impartial judges.
Thank God we've never been in a situation where we've had to rush the kids out of a burning house.
Of course
house.
Not.
But
every night they're in too small clothes. No.
My children look like sausages at night.
They're like, in all of my dreams, I'm in a spider's web. I'm stuck in a cocoon in all of my dreams.
Sometimes when I put on their pajamas, I'm like, give me a.
You put them on yourself?
Through. What?
No, nothing.
Just imagine them. Just imagine the entire house in flames. And like, we got to go. And we're grabbing a child and we're running through flames. It could happen.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, to me.
Yeah. I mean,
if they're so close to the flames that a correctly sized pajama gets ignited, then they're just too close. Then
you guys don't know. If this could be the difference between life or death.
It's not.
Tiny.
It's not.
But I've also never seen kids' pajamas that have a bell bottom like that.
Don't your kids sleep in boot cut pajamas? Low rise boot cut pajamas are back in style. Holy shit.
Anyway, this movie, Milk Money.
Clothing. Paul,
that's
I
a good
say,
edit point. Yep.
Clothing plays quite a role for me when I watch Milk Money. There's a lot of triggering scenes where, you know, I couldn't help but think of the mother that passed in Milk
Casey,
Money.
Yeah. I knew you were
like,
going
to say like, she's rolling in her grave, okay? Okay? She's got her son just jonesing to get the dad fucked by Melanie Griffith and just pulling out her old dresses and just giving him...
I was shocked.
It was shocking.
It was shocking. And Ed Harris, I said to Paul... This was a very disturbing moment between the two of us because we watched it together. And when Ed Harris didn't recognize that dress right away,
June,
I was so fucking angry. And I said, Paul, if another woman walks down here, stands in front of our home, okay, with my clothes on, and you don't recognize them. And he goes, you have so many.
Slam.
I found it, and I loved Ed Harris in this movie, and
incredible.
I loved his character so much, except for that.
He did say, when except told, I thought it looked familiar.
But she wears them again. She puts on a different dress.
Oh, she wears multiple
That's
dead mom
absolutely
clothes.
Absolutely inappropriate and weird.
Well, wait, but let me ask you a question, and I'm asking this again. I'm opening myself up to a lot of ridicule here. I don't find her outfits to be that... like provocative. Like when we've seen other representations of this profession, you see like a lot of maybe leather or this.
I think it's because in this movie, Paul, she's got a body for business.
Okay,
and
all right.
Head for sin.
All right, so that's basically. So basically,
she's
just
got
because
that
she
body.
Has. Just because she has breath. Because like people are looking. Like when she comes into the school office, she's wearing this. Like it's a fine outfit. It's like it doesn't feel overtly like.
Wait, but isn't that the dead mom's outfit?
No.
Oh, Jason.
No.
Jason, that's her uniform. Jason, those are like her fatigues. What? Like she's in those day in, day out.
Yeah.
That's just standard issue.
It is?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's
it.
She's
her
wearing
work clothes.
When
that's
she goes into the school, she's wearing like a bodysuit and
now,
like,
that, like, was that the
but
dead
was that
mom?
That bad?
Guy, I gotta be
I
honest.
No,
her clothes in the city are a blue, like micro
love
dress.
Love that dress.
Right? Incredible.
Velvet.
Like, yep. Insanely beautiful, hot, crazy. And then once she gets, then she's got the tan overcoat, right?
Sure. Yeah, the trench coat.
And from then on, it's the dead mom's clothes.
No, it's only from
this
when they
outfit,
attic.
Jason, what?
Hold on. What?
Jason, she's wearing like almost, a, she's wearing.
Wow, this audience is okay. Surly.
Noted, you guys, Team Sanity.
She's wearing
That's a Team Fredder right there.
Yeah.
She's wearing like a very Ren Faire type of look in a way. It's like it's corseted and it's a little like olden days and
But she really turned heads in it, if you'll recall, at dinner. Every extra was like boom.
Well, yeah, those women everybody in the office are like, fuck you. Like they hate her.
And
like,
everybody in town, when she walks down the street in town, everybody's like, boo.
God. I thought she looked amazing. I would have turned my head.
Incredible.
I thought she looked amazing.
Incredible.
Everybody's so hot in this movie. Ed Harris has never looked better.
Ed Harris needs a little bit of a messy hair
and
an untucked shirt. I like him like that.
Well, he's got an untucked shirt right there.
Yeah, I like him like that.
Oh, no, he's great.
That's not the greatest shot, but
no, I think that's a great
pick of
him.
You know who I thought was so cute? The guy who held the gun on the two children. At minute 13 of the film. I thought that was so...
But that's what's incredible. There's so much... There is so much... And we're talking about it, like, very sweetly. Like, it's a very almost wholesome story in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And especially because we go... There is a gritty city component, but then we quickly leave it behind for an almost Pleasantville style.
It's like a like gal small who wants town. To live in a sweet suburb. And
so much so that we're also participating in the nostalgia for the 50s, which is the leather jacket and the gelled hair and the sock hop at the end of the movie. But
that's
regardless, we're still faced over and over again with these grim realities.
Faced.
Like the guy who pulls the gun on the kids, and then one of the kids goes, "You saw your sister naked in the shower? I was hiding in the laundry basket." Or, like, that's also part of it.
My favorite two parts of this movie are the arguments between Anne Heche and blank. Anne Heche and Casey Semenko in the beginning where he goes, "You're not a person." She goes, "She's kind of a person." "She's not a person." "She kind of is." "She's not a person." "She kind of is." And then later on with Malcolm McDowell, he's like, "You're not worth a bullet." And she's like, "I am." He's like, "You're not." "I am." "You're not." Like,
but that's,
they let that go on so long.
I'm like, one person couldn't just mix it up a little?
But that's what I loved about it. I really did.
Same.
I was like, oh, this is so weird and interesting. And her defending not how much she's worth really, but just that she knows she's worth more than a bullet. And I was like, God damn it. I loved her character. I would pay such good money to see a movie just focused on her. When she was dancing outside that sock hop, I'm like, this deranged nutter butter.
Oh, yeah.
I love this
woman. So at 14 years old, she ran away. Melanie Griffith.
Melanie Griffith, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't get to know. That's what's interesting.
That's it. We don't get to know anything.
Because I
don't
think
know much about Eve.
We don't know much about Eve.
But
and I think
the movie is all about her.
It is.
Unspooled.
But I think this is not Unspooled,
How
Jason.
Dare you.
No, this isn't Unspooled?
No. This is how
yeah, that's right.
Made.
This is fun spool.
I think the reason is, of course, if we were to learn more, and I wonder if they cut it out, it would
get too dark.
Please release the director's cut
quickly.
Of this movie.
You know, and I have to imagine, because what I really didn't understand about this movie, and I loved it, and this is not a critique. This is a question.
God, no. Because we're putting it into the AFI list. We don't want to critique it tonight. Not tonight.
I would legitimately put this in the top 5% of movies we've covered.
Absolutely.
You know it only got 12?
I agree.
I mean, I had intense emotional reactions.
What else are we looking for from a movie? I laughed
it had
a lot
that,
too.
Like Kathleen Kennedy, like that had a sheen on it, that nostalgic sheen that we kind of grew up with.
It didn't have
a score,
but it wasn't it didn't have any Amblin-y stuff. It didn't have
Paul,
any.
No
like,
one's on your team tonight,
I know,
sweetie.
I know, and I'm holding my tongue a lot, but
sorry,
I'm going to
Paul.
Say the big moment, and you could please don't be on my side, but not in the, because I want you to be honest.
Yeah.
But the way that they like go into making love.
That was him, tough. I'm with you on this. Okay. Go ahead.
Him waxing poetically about his ex-wife, and he's like, it's to me, it feels like he's like, if I really focus, you'll be her. And that's it. Because why does this kid even want her to be his mom? They don't even know each other. Oh. She's done nothing.
Paul.
At the point that he's saying yes.
He's seen her breasts.
No, he has not.
No, I know.
He's a gentleman.
He's a gentleman.
He ate Cheetos.
Frank is a gentleman.
I do wonder though what he like connected to with her, because maybe that's a deleted
scene. How
could
you not connect to her? Oh. She's so effervescent and she's
and
so
warm. And this is one of her best performances, I think.
Oh yeah,
when he
great.
Says,
I do like her in this.
So this is what it's like. What?
Don't say it. Don't
say it, Jason.
Jason, I'll cry.
When he says this is what it's like to have a mom, I was shattered. This kid gets it. This movie. That's why I put it in the top 5%. You know what doesn't make me cry? The rest of the movies that we do, except for The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
No, this movie works on every level.
But do you think, all right.
If I'd seen this as a child, this movie would have felt like it was telling my story. I would have felt like, this, I want that.
Frank. Who are you?
Yeah, I know. No, I'm a total Frank. I'm not the perv watching my sister shower. And I'm not Kevin, who's like, I think having a Home Alone. He's like, this movie is also almost Home Alone.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, they do these.
They do a bunch of Home Alone kind of, I felt like side
yes,
references.
With the bad guys. Yep. Yeah.
It is interesting that we don't get to know that much about her. And this is where I really want to tip my hat to Melanie Griffith, because we don't get to know. We don't understand what happened at 14. We don't really understand why she also wants to leave over and over again. Like, I was like, this seems like a great setup. Stay here. You got clothes.
Well, I think
you got a treehouse.
Yeah. That nice little treehouse up there. You got the wetlands. Like, what?
Well, I think that because she can't be honest with herself, right? She's living a lie. That's why she wants to leave. She doesn't want to live a lie. She wants to be Eve. Not V, Eve.
But for her to be Eve,
she's got to admit to being V.
Well, no, for a lot of the movie, she thinks that Ed Harris knows what she does for a living and accepts her.
And they play that
her.
Game out beautifully. That first scene, I laughed.
And that's what we're talking about with Ed Harris. That, like, whatever that likeness is,
yes.
I'm like, oh, he is great. Oh,
it's an incredible
scene in the hands of, like, and I hate to put us all down up here, and I don't mean to, but just so sorry. But, like, just a comedian, like, it would have played too jokey. I thought he played it gorgeously. And I didn't mean to put you all... Everyone's
Why
so quiet.
Why do we have to take it?
But here,
why do you have to diminish us in order to?
I didn't mean you guys.
No, but you're right. You're right. We would have leaned into it too much.
I will speak for myself.
It's
I would have leaned
touch.
In a little bit.
So you're saying that Jason
touch.
And Paul, if in the, that role,
and you,
there you go.
I think I could do an. I could pull off an Ed Harris in this movie role.
I'd like to think I could too. I'm worth
I
more
could
than
pull
a
off for the Malcolm list. McDowell. Get over here.
I feel like I would only get the opportunity to play Casey Simasco.
That's
but,
the thing.
But boy, would I like to be Ed Harris.
I would like to do one of those things that they did in that Wayne's Brothers movie, Little Man, where they put my face on a child's body, and then I would play one of the children.
I do think you're right, though, Casey. It that scene for her,
and
too.
I should have put others down to make
know,
that
it's
point.
Like,
I'm so
that
sorry.
Really was tough.
I know.
Can I just... all right, so I'm going into Netflix. You guys get to greenlight all the movies, right? And I go, all right, so the fun thing is...
Paul,
you know,
we're big fans.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, we're big fans. We're so excited to hear what you came
so
in to talk about.
Love the podcast.
So,
do you want any water, Paul, before you start?
I got plenty of water. I used that little soda machine in the front. It was great.
Do you want to get validated now, or?
I talked to somebody out front. They had we got the validation. So, but if I go, so yeah. So when we get to the middle of the movie, we'll have we'll have the sex worker dress up, cosplay as the dead wife, and then we'll put the dad and the sex worker up in the treehouse, and the dad will just kind of talk about how much he loves the dead wife, and he's really not over her. And then they'll, like, fuck.
Wait. Will they fuck or make love?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, make love.
Because here's the thing. Here at Netflix, we're not interested in fucking. We're interested in making love.
But I mean, that is like what happens. Like, I guess I just feel like Ed Harris isn't over the loss of his wife.
He just has never dealt with it because he's put the photos up in the,
That's a win.
She's giving him a window to get at it.
She's pulling both of these people out of the absolute devastation and heartbreak and grief and loss that they are in. She is a lifeline for both of them.
It's true. It's hard to say.
And in
that,
lesser hands, it would have been an insufferable movie.
I would argue that most people who saw this felt it was an insufferable movie.
Wrong. These people are wrong. Just keep in mind, you're agreeing with Paul?
What?
Huh? 12% on the tomato meter.
Interesting.
But I think those numbers are off if three of the four of us are in love with it.
I know.
Also,
people are watching and they're trying to connect. Okay, I'll go there. Yes, I agree. Ed Harris is great. But there are some things that are fucked up here.
Okay,
there, we are not talking about.
Paul,
we are like a family. Like, not
that.
Like, I was once told that there was a member of my family that somebody kept in an attic. And then I was like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, we never talked about her. That's weird. But we, like, that's like the kind of stuff that's going on in
this
movie.
Name like six crazy things that happen in this movie. Money where your mouth is. Like what? Do they let the kids drive a car? One working the steering wheel, one the pedals? And then the steering wheel pops off?
Right.
Then they're almost hit by both two twin big rigs and then a train.
With an adult in the car who just seems to not be able to get over to get the wheel.
How about this moment when Melanie Griffith talks to three 12-year-olds and says, take off your shirts.
Oh,
good, you're not hairy enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
And
there was a cab driver.
You were concerned?
There was a
12-year-old's?
If I'm that cab driver, I'm reporting that.
The cab driver was sadly reacting like I was.
That is the part they would give me in this movie.
Like, I would have been the wife of the guy who had slept with Melanie Griffith.
I felt the same thing, Casey. I was like, that's my role. There it is.
By the way, like, another weird thing that happens, that someone in this town is actively using, like is as a little black book. He's like, oh,
and
hey,
we get a scene. We get a scene where he, an individual scene, where he, Kevin's dad.
We went home with him.
Creeps out of bed. Peeks if his wife is asleep.
It was shocking.
Tip, 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 calls the escort service and bitches them out because Melanie Griffith is inexplicably in his town.
I didn't understand
He's
that.
Like, hey, control this woman. She's in my town.
And by the way, the escort service is just Anne Heche. But yet Anne Heche and Casey Simansko work for Malcolm McDowell, who works for Jimmy
Everybody's
the Pope.
Everybody's got a boss, Paul.
Did you not learn anything?
And in that moment, though, why does that man get out of the bed and then redo the sheets as if he was never there? To what end is he? Who is he tricking? His wife and him clearly went to bed together.
He goes downstairs to make a call. If she wakes up, he wants her to think he never came to bed. Instead of, I was just having diarrhea.
I found it fascinating, though, to your point, Jason, about what this movie tackles. Like, to have gone home with this gentleman, to have also seen the moment where his son realizes, after his dad is such a hard ass and so particular about this and that, that his dad is cheating on his mom.
Dad is a liar.
And is a liar.
And the kid goes full Pigpen.
He does.
This kid Pigpens
such
himself.
A story.
In Act it Three. Was... I mean, Kevin. The third kid in the crew has a full arc.
He really
in
does.
Act Three,
and
he
and
goes
arcs
full
out beautifully.
Pigpen.
You know who I also loved was the actress that Frank ends up with.
I did too.
Incredible.
I did too. Now
the little
I
brunette who's fantastic.
She's wonderful. I didn't understand or I didn't see the lead up to that. I was really quite
shocked. Oh, it's in there.
It's in there.
Oh, she is pining for
him. It's baked in there. But you didn't see it from
Frank. She wanted him. I didn't see it from his.
I felt it was like we're watching through Frank's eyes. So Frank isn't noticing her the same way the blonde isn't noticing him. But really, he is noticing her.
Okay, so what I thought or what I was hoping for was that what Frank was learning through his father really connecting emotionally with V was that it was more important to see someone's heart first.
I think that is
that
right.
Is right? Okay.
Meanwhile, I only have eyes for you is playing, right? Like, it's the sock hop. I mean, incredible song, devastating song. He gives the leather jacket to the blonde, right? And then he asks the brunette to dance, and I start sobbing.
Again.
And I write in the thing, all caps and exclamation points, he chooses the brunette!
I need to get you all into therapy.
Were you identifying with the brunette?
Of course I'm identifying with the brunette.
Yeah, we all are, yeah.
Never picked?
Come on. And then a gunfight breaks out when a British man runs in there. Again, if you eliminate
everything,
47% of this movie, there's maybe some moments.
You know
what?
What did your dad say? Don't worry about that.
Yeah. You know where else? Here's another moment I cried at. Ed Harris, again, just incredible performance. But I really want to give it up to this kid, too, because when Ed Harris says, she's a Grace Kelly, isn't she? About Melanie Griffith to his son, I was like, I was like, brr.
She's not. She's not a Grace Kelly.
Neither was the mom.
Neither was the mom.
Why do they have to be a Grace Kelly? Can't it be like my wife, my beautiful wife?
Like Borat?
The person I want, she looks enough like her that I will marry her. And then this person... by proxy? It's like it's a weird thing.
No, no, no.
It's like I wouldn't keep up these things.
It's so hard to break from Paul, given the last show I was at. But
you have to,
Casey.
Isn't it weird, audience? Thank you.
Wait, is
anybody on board
for this?
Can you raise your hand if you did like it? Show hands.
Who's on my side?
Can we get house lights? Now, who's on the right side?
Very few.
Okay, so
one fourth.
So
one
it's
fourth.
Like a it's
a little bit equal, but not totally.
One fourth.
So a few of them are more with Paul.
Feels I would like love to drill like, down on the numbers and the data a little bit more.
I will say for those listening, it is the beautiful people who agree with us.
Majority
really
rules,
shocked.
Baby.
I watched it and I was like, why are we doing this?
This might be a moment for me to go out here with my people.
Jason, I wonder that too.
Let's see what they have to say, because maybe they have a point of view. Yes, okay, sir. How are you doing? All right, what's your question?
Assuming that they're together at the end of the movie, two of his friends, his best friends, have seen his mom's breasts, and one of their dads has had sex with him. That's a really
weird... I literally never thought of that.
I never thought of that, but what I...
Boom.
What I loved... No, not boom.
You guys are so deep in detail.
You know what?
Who cares?
You know what, though?
Who cares?
I feel like
a hole is a
hole. Small towns like
this. Who cares?
That's the shit that's going on, man.
Honestly, yes.
If you ask around in your friend group here in Los Angeles, who here who's with someone that they're in love with has fucked one of that person's friends?
I see one hand. One hand, this and now is, I see his this, person that he's
one
with.
One hand this man has
this,
put up.
This two, is a hero.
Two hands.
And here's what I'll say, and this is why I love Eve so much, is that she's not trying to be his mom. In fact, she says multiple times, I'm not your mom.
I'm a friend of the family.
Well, I mean, she's behaving in a way that if she was his mom would be truly insane.
That's what I'm, but she's not.
He doesn't even know what
that.
His mom is. He has no time with his mom.
Paul,
but that's
he's
not
learning.
Her fault.
He says, so this is what it's
but
like to have a mom.
But then she is his mom. But then she is his mom.
But no.
She owns the ice cream.
Talk to
so
me.
Well.
Tell me why I'm right.
I mean, aren't there laws against what's going on in this movie? For a reason?
Name them. Name those laws. Name them.
He's right. There are laws.
She's not fucking this kid.
No. And not
she
only that.
She considers it.
What we
she
are
considers
all doing.
It. That's what we're not talking
about.
Never when he says, teach my son how to fuck, she's like, okay, I guess. I'd rather fuck you, but I guess I will teach your son how to fuck.
She doesn't teach his son how to fuck.
She thinks about it.
I forgot that, too.
That's definitely right, I feel something I'm coming that over happens.
Here you're like making this seem gross, and it's wholesome.
Okay, so first of all, team laundry. Second of all, we haven't talked about the classroom scene, about teaching the sex.
Okay.
Now this is weird.
I agree.
That's not that insane. Okay, that one was weird.
This is a bridge too far.
But here's the thing.
But here's my problem with it, if I may.
Please.
My problem with this scene is Frank is failing this class. He needs this presentation to
Agreed.
Pass.
Why
but
not?
But he does it all with Melody Griffith in the room and the teacher's locked outside.
And I would argue that what he's doing as a presentation is incredibly, like, safe and sanitary. Like, he's not doing anything
Are you worried it's not sanitary?
Well, I mean clean. Like it's like, it wasn't like he got in and taught them how to fuck. Like, which is what that scene should have been. But what he did was he...
Expand on that. What do you mean? Expand on that.
What I'm saing is, they treat that scene where he locks the teacher out like, oh, I'm now going to give you guys something the teacher doesn't want you to know. And what he does is just do a straight up biology report with a human subject who's in a leotard. Like, there's
nothing.
But
the kids are thrilled.
Yes.
But like, what I'm saying is there's nothing.
Yeah, but it was like, whose benefit is this for?
Right.
He needs the grade.
And that would have gotten him a good grade.
I agree, this scene genuinely is harder to defend. Makes no sense. It really doesn't.
Because she should have been teaching them how to fuck.
I'm not saying that I want that.
Wait, like,
Paul.
That's like what it was.
Paul, you keep coming back to that.
I
just want to say, the person who agreed with Paul before, do you still agree with Paul?
No, I'm not saying, does Paul represent everybody here? No. What I'm saying is it's written in a way that it's supposed to be scandalous, and it yet is not. Now, look, I had a sex ed class taught by my gym teacher where he put a dildo in the shyest girl's lunch bag. All right, I'll back it up.
What?
So, there was this very nice girl.
I think this is the kind of stuff you need to understand about how Paul receives a movie.
So upset.
Honestly, I was agreed. Yeah.
So, I went to a Catholic school, and
this is why Paul had trouble with milk money.
And our head of phys ed was teaching our sex ed class. And there was a very nice, shy girl in our class. Very shy. And
this is as devastating as milk money. Go ahead.
This is worse.
Yes.
This is worse.
I'm really upset.
She went to the bathroom and he was like, guys, watch this. And he took out like this. Like, not in a very graphic dildo, but it was like something that we'd show how to put a condom on, right? It wasn't like something like ball is in veins. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the audience doesn't need to scream veiny. Veiny.
I appreciate you.
Girthy.
You.
Girthy, veiny. I know we're doing milk money, but try not to jerk off audience at Largo.
So you fucking
creeps.
He takes this penis substitute and puts it in her lunch bag.
Penis substitute.
Penis substitute?
Okay, class, I'll be your penis substitute. Your teacher's out, your penis is out sick. I'll be your penis substitute.
So
I'm on board for Saturday night.
So she comes back into class and she starts to open her brown lunch bag, and he goes, Patricia, what is this? And he then goes into her lunch bag and pulls out. Oh, what is this? What do you have in your lunch bag?
Such a cool thing. So funny. I'm sure she received it the exact right way. Oh, this poor girl.
Now, we're all in on it because we saw him plant it. And
you co-signed
my
that.
God. So no. You didn't speak up.
And so then,
I would have said, I'm sorry, that's mine.
And then he went like this. He's like, oh, I'm just joking with you. I put that in there. All right, now moving on to chapter two.
Now, that's how he learned about sex.
Listen, here's what I'm not going to debate. There are many things that are absolutely inappropriate and against the law. And I didn't like seeing her even when she was teaching him dance. I didn't like seeing her dance over him.
I didn't love that.
I didn't like it. And I, you know, but I actually...
Although I thought it was kind of creative with the thumbs.
That part of the dancing I loved.
Honestly,
when she danced over him in her skirt.
Oh, that was crazy.
Wait, but he closes, this again.
Right.
No, but that was...
But that's great for him, but why won't
Drop
she
Dead
do
Fred
that?
Looked up his mom's skirt. Anyway, go
ahead. That was bad.
Drop Dead Fred wasn't a real character.
Absolutely.
Seems like he was.
Let's not do this right now.
I will go into this if you do
your question.
Not start.
Hello, my name is Melissa. My question is, well, we've already touched on the fact that there was the kid hiding in the hamper and saw his sister naked in the shower. There seemed to be a few other incestual undertones, like when they said that Melanie Griffith's character was Ed Harris's sister, and then the family was watching them from outside, and the mom was like, I wish you two would be close like that. So just curious about your thoughts on the... That.
Honestly, I Served saw it, it and I heard it. Casey also has a very close relationship with her brother. So, and some
oh
of the questions.
God.
So, I am particularly.
Is that why you like this movie?
I really.
Is that why you like
it.
This movie? Because of the sibling relationship depicted between Ed Harris and Melanie Griffith?
My husband says my brother and I have the biggest will they, won't they.
Exactly.
I have.
It's weird.
I have heard you say about your brother that he's your lobster.
It's weird. So I also am very sensitive to that, especially with siblings. I don't like it, okay? But what I appreciated about this movie and that scene in particular at the ice cream shop, which, you know, V will come to buy with $250,000. She'll also buy a convertible and all
and
of the wetlands.
That
it was 1994. You could get
how
a lot.
How much could the wetlands cost?
Yeah, I was like, oh, the wetlands are $3,000.
Ed Harris, sell your house.
By the way, kids, sell that porn. Buy your dad the wetlands.
But here's the thing. No one else cared about the wetlands except for him and V. But
by the way, that was a cute moment when he tied himself to his own truck. I really enjoyed that moment.
So sweet. I love him so much. But so I'm sensitive to that. I don't like those kinds of jokes. I'm not interested, but
seems like you do on a bunch of occasions.
Whoa! But in that scene, I actually was like, they kept on cutting back to that family, watching them almost make out. And I was like, wow, this is what's so special about the movie, the amount of time they took.
Yes.
With those reaction shots and that scene developing, because it wasn't just like a gross out reaction shot of like, ew. It was like,
it builds.
It builds.
It's a joke. It's a good build. Because what I liked about that was, yes, of course, there's an incest joke. I did not like the incest joke about the kid watching his sister in the shower, because that is.
I didn't care for that one bit.
That's like straight up creep stuff, right? But this is a misunderstanding because of a miscommunication and a lie. They think these are brother and sister. And then the step-by-step, well, are you sure it isn't brother-in-law or sister-in-law? Yep. And then they start, I want you to make it. I thought that was also very
and
funny.
And we also get some backstory on that random family that these siblings are struggling.
By the way, I want to bring our attention to something. Oh, I don't want to bring it, but I'll say that I've noticed, but you haven't raised your hand until now, or at least I didn't see it. We've had last night and tonight two wonderful babies here
what?
In the back of the audience. And I
Where?
Saw you all last night. People said, oh, you missed them. I said, well, I didn't want to call attention to it, but now you've raised your hand, so I feel like I can go over.
The baby raised its hand?
These
oh my
are,
God, they're
the
so
milk
little.
Money is for everyone.
Is,
guys, the babies,
are,
I have an update, are so little. It's
these are
crazy.
The littlest, cutest babies.
How little are they?
I can't even express how cute they might be the cutest babies we've ever had.
Oh my God, I want it. Can I have one? You've got two.
Can I? Well, let me. I know you raised your hand, but how old are these babies?
They're 4 months old.
4 months, and they are cute, and they are twins.
Yes, they're twin girls, and this is Evan Jane and her sister Elliot.
Oh my gosh!
The best babies.
Evan
ever.
And Elliot. Can I have one of them? Whichever one you don't
want. I
truly can't
get over how cute these babies are. Blowing the roof off of cuteness here. All right, so what is your question?
Well, first I just wanted to tell June that one of our twins is named after you. We...
June, you got to get down here and check out this baby. You got to check out this baby.
We need a picture, June. We need a picture.
Paul, you weren't lying. They're absolutely beautiful.
There's steps here. There's steps right here.
Elliot June? Tonight's too much. I love you too. Oh my gosh. Paul.
Oh my God. It's a pretty insane sight.
Give me another baby.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Go visit these babies.
Oh, wait, and so just for clarity's sake, neither of them is named after me? I mean, I'm on record as loving babies and wanting them.
This has been an amazing, beautiful moment, but you have a question. I want to make sure I get your question if you have one.
We had a lot of conversations about this movie, having 4-month-old twins. And I was wondering, June, if you were to pass on, God forbid, and go to the big stage in the sky. And Paul somehow found himself in this situation. What would you hope he would do?
By the way, this is a great question.
We
you
repeat it, Paul.
Yourself.
What would you
And by
hope-
the way, it's something that June and I talk about a lot. We do.
What was the question?
The if question you was, if you die, you were to- what do you want me to do? Would you like me to be in a situation like
so
this?
So it's interesting. I actually did think, well, we did talk about the clothes. I will say it now and I'll put it down. No, I'll put it down, you know, for eternity and in this podcast, and we all can hold Paul accountable. I want Paul to move on very quickly and find
very
someone
quickly.
Else.
She says it very quickly.
I do.
And I told June, die alone.
I do. Here's what I want, though, is like a full, I want a celebration. I want so much fanfare around the passing, and then I would like Paul to he knows he has my blessing. But just put away my clothes.
You have to clap
stuff.
For that.
Yes.
But so
one
you're,
person but clap.
What you're saying is you're fine with him moving on as long as he doesn't dress her in your clothes.
I don't want my stuff
in
there.
In some sort of weird cosplay of you.
I don't
and
want
as long
that.
As I keep my children in tight pajamas.
As long as you keep the kids in tight pajamas. And I would like a number of pictures up. I didn't like that he kept all the pictures of her away. That felt really wrong. I'd like a couple wonderful approved photos.
Oh, God.
And then live your life. Life is for the living.
I would love if your
wow,
will.
That's very generous. Yeah.
If your will was just like, these are the approved photos.
That's such a good
by
idea.
The way,
I'm going to do it tonight.
By the way.
I'm going to do it tonight. Thank you, Jason.
Honestly, thank you, Jason.
Yeah.
Guys, you're welcome.
I go back. All right, here we go. One more question. What do we got?
Ed Harris was fully ready to go to jail. Who was going to watch Frank?
Yeah. Oh, great question. Ed Harris was ready to go.
Here's the deal. If you don't mind me saying, here's the deal. Frank's been basically on his own this whole time.
That's true.
Ed Harris is barely a parent.
But by the way, also has no family, like no aunts, no anything. Like it seems like
Frank is, I would argue, Frank is in many ways raising Ed Harris. Ed Harris, it feels to me to
That's
be...
That's a better title, Raising Frank.
Is it?
The title is interesting.
The title is unsettling.
It's unfortunately
it's
sexual for how much the movie is based around boobs.
Yeah.
Milk Money plays no part of the story because
they do yes
well,
it does
oh
it's
reference
it's milk it's money
wait a minute you said Milk Money is in no way part of this movie except for when they say Milk Money.
But milk money is like not even a, like they didn't sell milk to go see a woman's breasts.
Okay, wait a minute. Milk money doesn't refer to the selling of milk. It's the money you're given to buy milk at school. And these kids are buying porno with it. And they're giving these guys their milk money. Like, hey, give me your milk money is what a bully says to
you. Right.
Not the money you made selling milk.
I was.
Hey, dairy man, give me your milk money. However much you've made selling that pasteurized moo juice.
I was a milk attendant.
Attendant?
In my school.
What does that mean?
We're back at school?
I wish I was presently a milk attendant.
All right, so I would go into the milk locker and then I would say, all right.
The milk locker?
A big giant freezer or refrigerator. And I would go, okay, so Mrs. Meyer's class, they need 12 milks because 12 kids paid for that. And then I would boom, boom, boom. And then I would stack them up in milk crates and then bring them to different classes.
That's what I call opening someone's bra, entering the milk locker.
So.
Hear me out.
But one of the things about being a milk attendant is you could shave some money off the top.
Cool! But,
do you know that the statute of limitations is up?
I'm
you're
free and
skimming,
clear.
You're skimming off big milk?
How much?
Because everyone, it was a dollar of milk, and so they would put it in the thing, and then you'd have all that cash.
Now I understand how you misunderstood the title of the movie. Because for you, milk money is something very real.
Yeah.
As a milk attendant, going into the milk locker and skimming off the top of milk sales, you're some sort of milk. This is some sort of milk embezzlement scheme. You're the Michael Milken. Come on. The Michael Milken of Long Island.
Oh my God.
I could walk away with a few bucks in my pocket and free milk.
So you were also taking chocolate the milk for free.
By the way, because you could have chocolate or regular. And I take the chocolate for myself.
Wow, and you're lactose intolerant. Is this why?
You're
when
like
I was
the
a
Henry
milk
Hill.
Attendant, I didn't know it. Yeah,
you're the Henry Hill of your school's milk. You're like just a little
milk
taste
attendant.
Off the top.
Dude. When I went to school, so my dad worked in a pharmacy, and I realized very early on that, like, I said to my dad, I was like, can you order, like a case of bubble tape and all these gobstoppers, and I would bring them and then sell them in my school out of my locker. I would sell.
Oh, an entrepreneur.
I had wholesale candy in there, and everyone would come, boom, boom, boom. And I would, like, you know, you get like a whole thing of bubble tape for like 12
your
bucks.
Your childhood is like one of the kids in the movie.
Yes.
Which makes me confused why you don't like the movie.
I think it's triggering him.
Is it too close to home?
Way too close.
Well, then I also made deals with this kid on my bus who said his dad kept all of his porn in his locker and I would give him money and then he would free the porn and then I would be able to distribute that porn to other people.
What?
Yes, Paul.
What are you talking about?
I think you have a lot of Frank-like qualities.
This is your life story.
I did bring my friends into New York City one time. We went to Show World with fake IDs. And then...
Show World is a strip club.
And I went there as a 12-year-old.
Paul.
And
you had a fake ID?
Well, you went to the store and you got an NYU ID and it said I was a college student, but I was only 12. And then you showed it to the people at Show World and they would let you in. I think they knew I wasn't in college. But
You think? I like that there's a little... you're not quite
you're
sure.
Like I was chewing on my bubble tape.
Think they knew I was 12.
I was gobstoppers.
And there was a moment where I was walking around Show World as a 12-year-old. And this woman approached me and she said, do you want to watch me take a shower? And I said, no.
Paul, this movie is your life. Did you sign away life rights?
Is that why you're mad? You didn't make a cut?
Yeah.
Just feel like there could have gotten some better moments in there. And I remember that moment because I was like, I don't want to watch you take a shower. So I'm going to wait outside Show World. And I hung outside Show World and talked to the bouncer for a long time. Well, my two other friends were doing whatever they were doing.
Watching someone take a shower, sweet.
But
probably.
Before we got to show world, this guy was like, you want to like meet a... This is crazy. He's like, do you want to meet a sex worker? And we're like, yeah. And he started to lead us down an alley. And at that point,
this
I was like...
movie is your life. By the way, I just want to go on record. We are
I've
2 hours into the show.
Never heard of
and only of now are you inadvertently admitting and realizing this is your life story on film.
I did not put it all together. And as we were walking down that alley, I said, this is bad. Let's go. And then the guys said, where are you guys going? Where are you guys going? And we're like, we're going to get out of here. And I pulled my friends out and then we went to show world.
Yeah. The only difference is he didn't have a gun like this guy did.
He might have. We didn't go down far enough in the alley. All right, I feel like
Will you just let Tim ask his question?
Of course. Tim kept his hand up the entire time, knowing that, okay, we were coming to the end. Tim, what do you got?
I'm a school teacher, and whoever wrote this movie has no idea how school works. The dance has zero security. You aren't allowed to leave your students alone to take a phone call.
But what about in 1994?
Yeah.
Well, I can't speak to that. But
when I was a kid, I mean, it was pretty freezing.
It's Pittsburgh. It's Pittsburgh.
And she says that he needs to pull his grade up by giving an oral presentation with visual aids and footnotes?
How do you give footnotes during...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I thought where we were heading with the class was that he was failing math.
Same.
And I was V is great at math, and we're actually going to come around to the fact that we're not buying an ice cream store. She's like, I'm going to start tutoring.
It would be great if that was one of her skills.
And here's where the movie is limited, right? Like, we don't get to understand is what her goals are beyond motherhood or beyond just sort of like suburbia, if she has any other interests. And so I'm wondering that the whole movie, and then... come to find out she's purchased an ice cream shop. And I was like, wow, I didn't know she liked
ice cream. Yeah, did they tap
that?
Like, at one point, was she like, oh, one day or anything?
No! I think she just.
She also, by the way, this movie is crazy. She drives off at the end without the dad and the son.
She's like,
peace.
She's like, I'll see you later. And they're like, are we going to see you again? But and she's like, yeah, I own the ice cream shop.
But that's what I loved about the ending was it. We didn't end on them together.
The presumption is they will be.
Of course. However,
we're going to rewind and kind of restart.
She needs to restart her life. And I thought that was such a powerful choice. And
that was so radically undercut by the last line of the movie, which is from Frank. It is repeated twice and it is... I have a hair!
And
the last line of the movie
is dangerous.
He rips his shirt open as if he can feel it growing. She drives up and he's like, it's happening!
Watching his dad get fucked gives him, like, makes him go through puberty.
She bought the Wetlands. I write here. She bought the Wetlands. She bought the ice cream shop. I'm sobbing. What is wrong with me? I wrote that in my notes.
But I am worrying about her finances.
I totally agree, Casey. I think she blew it all.
Like, I wish it was $1 million, you know, even for that time. I felt limited with
94?
With
94 is $250,000.
Okay, here's the great thing about sex work.
She just bought so much.
I know, but she has something to fall back on.
Plus,
Ed
Harris seems to be doing fine. Whatever he's up to.
Financially?
They have a beautiful house. They live out in the suburbs. They're not living in a flop house in the city. They're living in the suburbs in a beautiful... They're living madmen life.
Medical malpractice.
What's that?
Medical malpractice.
Because of the dead wife?
Yeah.
Zoinks. Do we know that?
Deleted scene.
Do we know that?
We don't know it. But something went wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, when Frank says that she died at the moment of his birth at the same time he was born, that he knows that, I was like, oh, this kid is breaking my heart.
It was devastating.
I just wish someone would name a baby after me.
They haven't yet.
But you know what? Obviously, there's a lot of opinions here, but tonight we're going to hear some other opinions too. And now it is time for second opinions.
Milk money, movie, sex positivity, normalize the body, and hesh RIP. All the critics clutching their pearls. I give it 5 stars, I'd give it the world. Oh, oh, sex work is work. Oh, sex traffickers are jerks. Grace Kelly, Wetlands, leather jacket, learn to dance. Freedom from Caligula, fresh start for a new romance. Second opinions, here's one from me. Certified fresh in 2003. Oh, oh, slut shaming hurts. Oh, oh, what's up, jerks? Sex work is work. Sex work is work.
Thank you, Jen. Here we go. Thank you for that. Oh, great. Pass it back to you. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Liam.
That
Jen,
was amazing.
Jen, what did you put on the microphone?
Oh, it's a microphone condom.
Great. I loved it.
It's a diaphragm, yeah.
Diaphragm. All right, these are second opinions from Amazon.
I noticed it because she put it just against the microphone and it got sucked right onto it. That's how they work.
There are 775 total reviews. 80% are 5-star. Let's get right into it.
80% are 5-star?
Yeah,
that's right.
Only 2% are 1-star.
Right.
From William L. Hendricks, he writes, cute, some funny, some serious. Melanie steals the show from Harrison Ford. Just a good, lighthearted story about how business goes. So I just want to read that end one more time. Just a good, lighthearted story about how business goes. All right. Ramon Villalobos writes this. Was a little distracted by the children in this film attempting to render the services of a prostitute. Certainly this is not legal, but she seems to go along with it, question mark. And the love story between the aforementioned prostitute and one of the boy's fathers. But as an environmentalist myself, I was moved by the story of one man's quixotic attempts to save a marshland from the ravages of capitalism.
5 stars.
Ed Harris thrills as a man almost blindly focused on his attempts to save a precious ecosystem to the point where he ignores his own son's longing for parental guidance and criminal activities. Very cute and should delight the entire family. Highly recommend. Oh, one minor critique might be the utter, U-D-D-E-R, lack of milk in this film.
Whoa!
5 stars.
You agree with that part, though.
I do agree. There's not enough milk
as
in here.
As a milk attendant.
Milk attendant.
And please, then, please write a follow-up called that is a follow-up that brings this universe that's a Jeremy Renner movie called The Milk Locker.
This one is written by Ward. Very funny movie, and the acting was very realistic. There were many times when the man in the movie was saying something that was interpreted entirely differently by the female, which made for a very funny situation. The plot was very interesting and unusual. That classic man-woman scene there.
It was unusual.
All right, so that's what we got, people. I mean, we really broke this movie down.
Oh, I could go for hours more.
$20 million budget, opening weekend, $5 million. Made $18.1 million. Came in number 80 of all the movies of 1994. The top movies of
80,
yeah. The top three were Lion King, Forrest Gump, and True Lies. This
a hard year.
Yeah, tough year.
It's a hard year to break through. You know?
This movie did beat Street Fighter, Ghost in the Machine, and Double Dragon. But it was beat by The Specialist, Time Cop, Disclosure, The Shadow, Junior, and Color of Night. A real banner year for How Did This Get Made?
Incredible year.
big year for us on the show. And some of the titles it was in other countries we've been doing this. Choosing Mommy, that's in Argentina.
I'm so, Paul, I just didn't hear you. What? Yeah.
Choosing Mommy, that's Argentina.
Cool, if somebody could just isolate that and make a song out of it.
And in Greece, Jason, your homeland, it was called A Woman for Daddy.
Yes! You would be shocked how often I say those exact words.
In Turkey, this movie was called Little Womanizer. And in Canada, this movie was called When the Kids Get Involved. Oh.
That's very Canadian.
I mean, I think I could tell from the way that you all speak of it, you highly recommend this movie.
Yeah, yeah. There's some scenes in the movie that should not ever be seen, you know? They should be cut. They should be animated. I don't know what should happen, but something should happen.
Is one of those scenes when he says, I want to make love?
No, you know what one of the scenes is that's like absolutely should be like none of us should be able to watch is when the little boys are ogling the little girls walking into school and the camera gives us
a POV shot. That scene.
That's the shot where I was like, I can't.
Absolutely.
Am I in trouble? What is this? I shouldn't. Is this allowed?
Is this a trick?
Yeah, it was... Again, we have to know that, you know, we have to know that that's a part of this.
Yeah, we have to take responsibility. And yet.
And yet.
And yet.
And yet. There are this movie. Really, I was really connected to the characters. I love that they didn't end with her and the kid and the husband and the house. I don't even know if she's going to live there. I don't know where she's going. You know, I picture her living above the ice cream shop. And I think that's great. I really do. And I really enjoyed it. And it really spoke to me when she said, you know, what'd she say about where you can touch a woman and her heart?
There's one special place. Oh, that part was a weeper.
See, I cried. By the way,
I cried then. So I cried where she held the backpack.
I will argue that the reason why he goes to, he's like, oh, that's where you touch a woman. He goes to touch his heart. And he's like, a hair.
Oh.
Oh, I bet you're right.
Yeah.
But he feels it through his shirt.
Well, he's like,
no,
he's like,
yeah.
Well, June, yeah, you can always feel him.
Oh.
He's trying to finger his own heart, and he's
whoa,
like,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wow. Casey, it's been so lovely to have you back. Welcome back to the show.
I'm so happy to be here.
It was really healing.
Thank you all so much for having me. It feels really good to be back, and it feels like we mended some things.
I think so, and I think we needed this time.
To heal. And I want to give a shout-out. This beer is incredible.
It was really
good. Genuinely loving it.
Yes, this is from our friends at The Wrong Crowd. That's the beer company out of Chester, Pennsylvania, with their Where Does the Butt Start Pale Ale.
I could drink it.
And by the way, it says in the back, it says, what's up, jerks? We got a hot tip. To try out experimental hop variety, well, this goes on to about the beer. Now, there's a couple of references to our show, but it's not enough for me to read the whole thing.
Team Sanity.
But I appreciate it all. Casey, you want to tell us anything you want anyone to do?
Do you want to reconsider any of your opinions on Drop Dead Fred?
Don't want to go back there, Jason.
Fair enough.
I host Bitch Sesh Podcast if you like housewives and comedy. And I'm just so happy to be here, and I really feel better about you too.
Wow.
Thank you. I feel better too.
Yeah. June and I will talk about it on our phone call later.
I'll call you.
Yeah, well, we'll be there. All right, thank you all for coming out tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Casey Wilson. So great to have her back. Make sure you check out Casey and Danielle's Garbage World. It's a brand new home of Bitch Sesh, Garbage Sesh, and so much more. It is an amazing new podcast empire that they are doing. Just go to Casey and Danielle's GarbageWorld.com. That's Casey and Danielle's GarbageWorld.com. I bought a subscription for an entire year. I'm getting on the Discord. I'm getting bonus episodes. They are absolutely amazing. Now, we talked about the tour in the last episode. How did this get made? Going on the road on the East Coast. We've added an extra date. That's right. We've added
actually two extra dates. I'm talking about Boston on August 8th at the Wilbur. We were at the Chevalier. We sold out. Now we're going in town to do a show at the Wilbur. We also are right on the verge of adding a brand new New York show or maybe a New Jersey show. That's right. If you are north of Bergen County, you're going to want to hear this. Anyway, keep up to date on all the tour announcements by going to hdtgm.com. But right now, you can get tickets to our second Boston show. Go to the Wilbur /artist/ how did this get made? Or like I said, just go to hdtgm.com. It's just that simple. I want you to know that we always have t-shirts, great t-shirts. And while we won't have a t-shirt of my long story about going into Times Square, we have some great ones in our shop at tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm. We will be back next week with all your questions on all your observations about Milk Money. Plus, Jason and I will sit down, relax, and have a chat. I appreciate him filling in for me on the Last Looks episode. And if you want to add any of your thoughts, just head on over to our Discord at discord.gg/hdtgm. We will see you next week for Last Looks. And until then, bye for now. How did this get made?